Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Today's episode is very intense.
At some point, I just kept wanting to have bigger and bigger muscles. Mm. And, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I did do once.
Yeah, I've always been the chubby kid, and I've always been made fun of since the day I can remember. So that's kind of how I got into bulimia.
In the gay community, when you're around all these beautiful men who have all these big muscles and bodies, you really feel the pressure to kind of fit in and be a part of that.
When I was going through my worst period, I was at my peak on YouTube. Like, people were watching me on YouTube pulling pranks on Ant, but at the same time, without knowing, they were watching me kill myself slowly.
Again. Didn't you say you ended up in hospital?
I'll try to keep it a little bit more happy.
There's not a single restaurant that we went to where I did make myself throw up.
I didn't know that.
The reason he might have broke up with me is because my body isn't perfect.
That is my biggest regret in our relationship.
But it's an absolutely terrible thing, you know, to go through.
Hey guys, I'm Nick.
And I'm Ant.
And we're the New Gays.
And I'm Frank.
And I'm Dan.
And we're the Old Gays.
And this is Old Gays, New Gays.
This is the podcast where we compare all things gay through the lenses of two generations of LGBT couples.
Ooh, and today's episode is
very
intense. I think we're going to be very vulnerable. I think all of us in this episode.
Mm. Oh my gosh, what are you making me do?
So today's episode, guys, is going to be talking about body, mental health, like in terms of like body dysmorphia, current trends with diet trends, and also each of our individual stories, you know, of us going through
body imaging.
Body images.
Frank,
yeah.
Didn't you say you ended up in hospital?
Yes, but that's going to come on a little bit later, I think. I need to prep for
that. Well, I'm really intrigued to know how body trend and diet trend led you into hospital.
I mean, we've got basically three stories today that are going to be major about this topic of body dysmorphia and all that kind of stuff. And so one of them is going to be about drug use to get to a certain body type. One is about Endicott Hospital, and then one's going to be about me dealing with bulimia. So this is going to be a really, really interesting episode.
And this is all personal stories from each of us here today.
Yeah.
So this is the real perspective, and nothing's going to be filtered.
Yeah, and we'll also compare about trends and stuff.
Yeah.
But talking about body dysmorphia, guys.
Mm.
Yeah. Ours is so wrong. So last week, guys, it was Frank's birthday.
Oh,
so
damn.
We got a cupcake to all share.
Jamie?
He's like, oh. Is that my cue?
that was your cue. Come on,
that was your cue, babe.
Who practiced this? So Frank, it was your birthday. I know it was last week, but we couldn't resist not celebrating here on the podcast because, you know, this is what young gays do. We care for the elderly.
Oh my god.
Sugar.
Birthday to you. Happy birthday. We're all gonna share one cupcake.
Oh my gosh.
You found a lighter?
I did. Aww.
The rappers left it yesterday from there.
Wow, look at this.
Happy birthday
to you. To the old gay. Aww.
Hey, look, it's great being 30 again.
I thought you were 25. What happened?
Thank you very much. It was very sweet.
No worries. Yeah.
I'll cut into four pieces, I promise.
Yep, perfect.
Actually, are we talking about like body image and stuff, so this is going to go really well with today's
That's
episode.
Right.
Is it diet?
Who's going to eat? Yeah.
Is it sugar-free?
Sugar-free. So who wants to go first?
Right, guys. So I say we start the conversation off. I'm sorry. I'm just very curious. So who of y'all were using drugs?
Wow. Okay, wow. You outed me right there. Well, look, I think you should take a step back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I do think I don't know. I'm curious to find out if the younger generation felt the same pressures we did when we were your age. But back in the 80s, kind of when we were coming out, there was really only two kind of gay images that were kind of, you know, you either fit into the stereotypical femme or the stereotypical masculine. I think now there's, we'll talk about that, but I think there's a lot of other different variations people can acceptably be now. But if you wanted to kind of fit into the gay community, you had to find your niche, and that was, I felt that way anyways. And so my niche was the masculine side, and I wanted to be really fit. I mean, I've always been, I've always exercised my whole life, and I was really fit. I didn't have really, you know, I didn't have a reason to keep going above and beyond. But at some point, I just kept wanting to have bigger and bigger muscles. And, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I did do one round of steroids once just to...
It was worth it.
It was. Wow. Oh, yeah.
Stop. Was that the,
well, so
that the
I'm
message.
Sure you
That's
enjoyed
not the message
it.
Was
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Dan,
I'm kidding.
Was that the first thing you put in your ass?
Oh, wow. That's, I'm not going
Jesus.
There.
It's meant to be a serious episode.
Sorry, I cannot. Okay, let's get back on track.
Okay,
and
no,
be serious.
I've actually got a question. So, what? So we're talking what year now that you're taking steroids?
1999.
98.
Oh my god, the year I was born.
Yeah. Oh god, that's depressing.
Sorry. Wow. So was that new back then? Kind of like Ozempic is new for us?
No. Look, steroids has been around for a long time. The type of steroids you could get and what you got, I think, is what kind of changed throughout time. But you know, it was, look, I wasn't in America at the time. But I think when I talk about those two stereotypes, America was severe, right? Because America is really masculine or feminine in the gay community. When I came to Europe, I was surprised at how some people didn't even go to the gym at all. You know what I mean? I mean, that was new to me and in a way. But so I was in Europe at the time, and a lot of friends of mine at the gym were doing it, and I thought, well, I'll just do one round. You know, I'm not going to go into the cycles of it. But I said, I'll just do one round to see what happens. And, you know, it had an impact, but it scared me a lot. And I knew that, you know, that you can get addicted. I also knew that you can get cancer. It can break your body down in certain ways that you don't want to.
Oh, yeah, the hormone imbalances.
So I kind of luckily stopped after one cycle because I thought, I just don't want to get addicted to this. But I felt I only did it because I felt pressured to be bigger. I didn't do it because I needed to do it. You know, I didn't. I was pretty fit anyways. I wasn't trying to really change my body. I was just trying to improve it. And I don't even know why I felt like I needed to be. I felt the pressure to, in the gay community, when you're around all these beautiful men who have all these big muscles and bodies, you really feel the pressure to kind of fit in and be a part of that. And I don't know if straight people had that, but I certainly felt that when I would go out to clubs and parties and stuff like that.
There was pressure to sort of look a certain way, and especially when you're part of a circle of friends and you go to dinner parties and you go to parties and all sort of stuff. There was pressure to look physically a certain way, and I think steroids sort of help you get there. And it was, I thought certainly in the late 90s, I mean, steroids have been around for a long time, but in the late 90s, it seemed to be a trend. That more and more people were doing steroids to be leaner, to be more muscular, and that sort of stuff.
And just to one-up each other. So you were already looking really good. You were happy with your body, but you still chose, hey, this peer pressure from all these other gays, I need to take steroids to look as good as them and compete with them?
I kind of felt like, yes.
Did your body change with steroids?
Yeah, it did. No, it didn't change dramatically. I was able to put on more muscle, and I got a little bit bigger. I was already really fit. Like, I was really into cardio and gym my whole life, but I got a little bit bigger, which is kind of what I was hoping to do. Got to put on a little bit tighter t-shirt.
Was it worth it, though? A little bit bigger.
No. Well, no. I would say now, no. Yeah, it wasn't worth it for me because there was no real upside to it other than looking slightly different. I don't think I was attracting, you know.
Careful what you say.
Well, I think Well, I mean, it shows that it wasn't, you know, fully for you, or the side effects weren't really worth it because you only did do one round. Right, so it shows that you didn't want to keep doing it, which is good.
And you cut your hair as well.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing I was worried about. So that's another reason why I didn't want to get addicted.
Oh, is that a side effect?
Yeah, you lose your hair.
You can lose your hair. Well, it depends on, yeah. Oh, my God. You can lose your hair. You can get really bad acne.
I've got such a bad hairline.
You can eventually get cancer, so you have to be really careful. Yeah.
Gosh. And heart attacks as well. I think I don't know the causes, but steroids enlarging your muscles, right? And a heart is a muscle, so you're enlarging that, putting extra stress on it.
Yeah.
So you're going to cause, like, these problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it wasn't a smart thing to do, and... Was it worth it? No, but at that time, I experimented and I tried it, and
so you did this just to get more twinks.
I was never into twinks.
Frank's like, I'm a twink.
I like muscles.
Sorry.
And at my age. But it was shortly about the time I met Frank.
It was. So he did
maybe,
make a twink.
Frank was, you know, maybe I didn't sell the right goods. Like, he's like.
But we were both obsessed with our bodies. Like, we were both work out a lot. We would work out 6-7 days a week, an hour session at the gym. We'd do running every second day. So we were quite committed to our bodies. I think we got into a routine which was kind of healthy and all that sort of stuff physically. But there was a part of it as well that was really trying to look a certain way. So when you go to dinner parties, you go to parties and all sort of stuff, you fit in a crowd.
We both felt the pressure to stay fit. Yeah. Right. And part of it was health, and we were really proud of our health. But part of it was in the gay community, the pressure we felt to look fit, you know, to be kind of part of that. We called it the A crowd.
The gay crowd.
That sounds terrible.
Well, I think similar to so I think that's, you know, one big thing, especially in the gay community, is wanting to be bigger and lean muscle. And, you know, especially within, like, if we're talking, like, I don't know, like twunks or tops, and that's kind of like a really big part of them wanting to look good, right? But I think the other part, which is the one that I dealt with a lot, is wanting to be skinny and needing to not have, like, any fat and nothing, just because you look at all these twinks, and I think, like, the twinks that we do see, you know, well, back in the day, at least when I was growing up, the twinks that we did see, like, on porns and stuff like that, were all super slim, like, you know, bony chest and everything. So that's kind of what, like, my inspo always was. And I think that's kind of how I got into bulimia. So basically, like, just my whole life, just to start the story, I've always had body dysmorphia. I've always been the chubby kid, and I've always been made fun of since the day I can remember. So it's always been engraved in my head that my body is not perfect, and it was in the mirror and all that kind of stuff.
It's perfect to me. That's all that matters.
That's really good. That's really good.
Yeah. But so how it started is, I would think, so for me, how it really got triggered is when, so I'm not going to blame my ex for this, but it.
Blame him. Put him in the ground. No. Stamp on him.
No, it wasn't his fault. It was my decision.
I'm kidding,
overall. It was my decision to do what I did. But so.
What age are we talking about? Just to.
The one prior to him.
No, so when you started being bullied.
Yeah, so how it started is basically so a lot of people know the story, but basically I flew to the UK to surprise my back then boyfriend, and I got dumped, okay? So after I got dumped, obviously it was my first love, so it was, like, extremely hard on me emotionally and everything. I had this perception in my head, because it's always been a trauma of mine that, you know, I wasn't the perfect body. So in the back of my head, I was always thinking the reason he might have broke up with me is because my body isn't perfect. So, or I was a bit too chubby, or I had, like, you know, muffin tops or whatever, right?
Weren't as skinny as the other twinks.
Yeah. So I think that was always in the back of my head, like, oh, maybe that's why. Because I couldn't see any other reason why he would dump me. So I made that kind of the reasons in my head. So after I got dumped, I go back to Canada, and my sister and my mom go, listen, Nick, you've just been dumped. Let's go on a girls' trip to an all-inclusive in the Caribbean. I said, fuck, yes, I need to right now.
Yeah.
So we're at an all-inclusive in Haiti, a beautiful trip. And one night, I'm feeling a lot more emotional than I've been since this breakup. And one way I've always dealt with my emotions, especially growing up as a kid, is by eating. So we were at an all-inclusive buffet. Usually I was good with my diet and kind of, like, knowing what to eat, what not to eat, because at that point I was losing weight, but not, like, horribly. And so one night I just got really emotional. I just started eating one plate of desserts, two, three, kept going. And after like my last plate, I just felt disgusting. And in my head, I was just like, what the fuck have I just done? I'm going to gain 5 pounds tomorrow. I'm going to look horrible in my bathing suit. So my sister said, Nick, don't worry. Like, let's just have fun. Like, there's a club at the resort. Let's just have drinks, go to the club. So I have drinks, but the whole night I'm just thinking, fuck, like, it's just this overpowering thought in my head. Like, I've got to do something. Like, I need to not gain this weight now. And so I thought about this video that a YouTuber at that time that was a comedian. I'll call him out, Shane Dawson. And he did like a lot of jokes about body issues because he was also a fat kid. So okay. A lot of his humor was like body, whatever. And so at one point he had done a joke where it was, oh, bulimia is so easy. All you have to do is just put a finger down your throat and the meal's gone. And back then, even back then, there wasn't much talk about the side effects of it. So all it was in my head was, oh, I'm throwing up and the meal's gone and that's it. So I go back to the hotel where I tell, hey, Alex, my sister, I go, I just have to go freshen up. So I go to the bathroom in our hotel room, and I have like this standoff with the toilet. I'm just thinking for 10 minutes, I'm like, should I do this? Should I do it? Should I do it? Should I do it? And after like 10 minutes, I go, fuck it, let me just do it. Because this is so like mentally hard right now. And I can't think of gaining the weight anymore. So after, and the first time you do it, it's not like it comes out right away. Like it takes a really long time. So I was like in my throat for like 10, 20 minutes, just trying to get it all out until there was nothing left to come out.
Oh my God.
And as hard as it was to do it, after it happened, I just was like, oh my God, that's it. I'm skinny again. I'm fine. But I won't ever do it again. I won't ever do it. And so now we go back to Canada, whatever. And progressively, I started doing it when situations like buffets happen. So like my second memory is just like quickly, my friend and I, my best friend, go to an all-you-can-eat sushi place. I tell her, oh, I just gotta use the bathroom, girl, sorry. And she's had it in the past, so she's kind of seeing the signs. And so after I got out and threw up and came back, I'm like, oh, sorry, I took so long, it was whatever. She goes, did you throw up? I'd never been called out for it before, so I was just a bit like, oh my God, okay. No, I didn't. Like, don't worry. She's like, Nick. I'm like, no, don't worry.
That's a good friend to have.
Yeah, no, she saw the signs and that was really good. And then what became, I'm just gonna do if I have big meals, became after every single meal, I'm gonna throw up.
Oh, really?
I remember that.
So it got really, really bad when I moved to the UK. So,
because all of this was before I met you. And then I remember when we first dated, you would always go to the bathroom because we are influencers. So we get invited out to restaurants quite often. Restaurants wanna promote their food and it's gorgeous food. And obviously, it's great for me being a top. I wanna just eat, grow muscle. But at the time I met you, I didn't really know you that well. And I do remember you, every time we went out for a restaurant, you would go to the bathroom for a long time.
Yeah, I think when I first met Aunt, the first year of like our first date to the like a whole year of eating out, there's not a single restaurant that we went to where I didn't make myself throw up. At least a year.
I didn't know that.
That's not that long ago.
No, yeah.
Yeah, this was like 2018. Yeah. Like the worst was the end of 2018. So that's when I moved to the UK to be with Aunt. But I had moved to like this, you know, Southampton, which was very depressing. Aunt was always at uni.
Woohoo to Southampton. Yeah.
He was always at uni or with his friends. And it's not his fault because this is his first time at uni. And like I just moved there at the worst time possible.
But that is my biggest regret in our relationship is the fact that I was so consumed by university that I didn't take care of Nick. Nick just flew to the UK to be with me. I completely neglected him. He was in... His perception of the UK was this glamorous Hogwarts kind of like fantasy that people have. Like Americans have that. He came to Southampton, which was not that fantasy.
But it was just like adding up. So it was like I moved there. I moved there for Aunt. I was never really seeing him because he was always at uni with his friends.
Literally, I saw you once or twice a week.
I didn't know anybody, especially not in Southampton. And so I was always in this really gloomy one-bed apartment every single day, just working, film work. So it came to a part where I had no other hobbies. My other hobby was my body and fixating on that. So I would go to the grocery store buy like the lowest cal things, and I would, whatever I ate, I would just throw up right after. So at that rate, that was my probably my worst part, 2018. After every single bite of food I had, I would make myself throw up. So that at this point, it's like 3-4 times a day.
You know what strikes every me single is day. How invisible that disease is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You actually stayed in our house during that period.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And I had no idea any of this stuff was going on. I mean, you never talked about it. You never gave any clues or anything. I mean, it's a very invisible disease, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It really is.
I feel like hugging you now.
No, it's okay. I've gone past it now.
Is it a disease or a disorder? Are they...
I think it's an eating disorder, 1,000%.
How did you manage to sort of...
get back?
Yeah.
So like this is, and... so it's actually because of social media. And I posted a picture. So after this 3 months in Southampton and where I was at my worst, it was Christmas time. And so I go see my parents in Florida. And first of all, my mom hugged me after not seeing me for like 5-6 months.
Yeah.
And the first thing she said when she hugged me, she goes, "Oh my fucking God, you are so skinny. What happened?"
She's seen it, yeah.
She's like, "What the hell?" I'm like, "Oh, I've just been like working out and eating well." She's like, "Oh, okay." But she could feel something was off. And so I'm in their condo in Florida. And I remember 2 years prior, I took a picture in the mirror where I looked really fat.
You looked fat.
Yeah.
And so I go, "Oh my God, I look..." And then for me, in my eyes at that point, I was like, "Oh my God, I look so much better now. It's my perfect body." So I took a picture, like a before and after, and I posted it to Instagram. And I'm going to pull this picture out right now. I'll show the audience as well.
We can put it on screen right now if you're watching on YouTube.
Mm. So this is, I'll show the picture first so you guys can get an idea. It's still on my Instagram. So, this was my turning point. So when I posted the picture, me expecting everyone to go, "Oh my God, congrats on your weight loss journey. You look so good now, blah, blah." It was 1,000+ comments of, "Holy fuck, Nick, what the fuck? This is bad."
Yeah.
So I'll show the audience the picture, and this, just for context, this is like 2 years apart.
Yeah, that's
skinny. Okay, yeah.
And so after seeing like thousands of comments going like, "Nick, you need to desperately seek help. This is not okay." It was actually like my audience in a way that was telling me like convinced me to like make an alternate decision.
I reckon the audience actually might have saved you, because those eating disorders can lead to death, because it's so intense on the body that your body will just shut down. And I'm not too sure like how far away your body was from shutting down. And I put this on myself as well, because I didn't know you too well back then. And looking back, I didn't even know what was going on. And I lived in the same household as you.
Mm.
Maybe I can attribute that to the fact that I didn't know you for that long, and therefore like, we were long distance. I never got to see you that often, so I didn't really notice the difference. I just always thought you were skinny.
Yeah.
So, but like looking back, that picture, that's obvious. Like, that's an issue, and thank God for your mom. Your mom.
Well, yeah, but
And it's brave of you to talk about it, to be honest. Yeah. And I think it's a really good thing, because I think there's probably a lot of people with that.
Oh, 1,000%. And it's not only. I mean, you know, I just kind of started off by saying, you know, me in the gay community, I did this because I felt I had to look a certain way to be a twink or whatever. But I mean, you know, so many girls that I know go through this as well. So I think there are signs if people are noticing, family, friends, like if, you know, there are signs like using the washroom after every meal or things like that. So if you guys think that anybody's ever going through something like that, you know, at least talk to them. Like, don't. I think the whole thing is no one wants to be confronted about it, because that's why I think I kept it so secretive, because it is embarrassing to a certain extent. So it's just not confronting, but you know, asking them if they're okay. And
I mean, goodness me.
Well, I think it's good to talk about.
You have to be so brave to talk about these things, because this is the ultimate state of vulnerability. And I think once you are vulnerable, amazing things happen. Like, if you can just push past that barrier and talk to people and open up, you actually get an overwhelming amount of support and progression in whatever you're struggling with.
And I think to your point, Nick, if anybody is feeling the same things, I mean, I think the similarities between our stories and probably other stories we're going to hear today is just a general starting point of being unhappy with your body and not seeing your body actually for what it is anyways, right? Yeah. That kind of, like you said, dysmorphia of how you view your body. And, you know, if you're feeling those feelings, also reach out, you know.
Mm-hmm. And 1,000%.
There's a lot of support places online that you can find to help. But,
I mean, we had just kind of, as you're telling the story and kind of thinking back when you were at our place, like, I had no idea this was going on, like, absolutely nothing. And you stayed with us for what? A couple of weeks? And I had no idea.
I would never, it's like, also, Ant now feels bad, but I'm like, the point is, like, the thing is you get really good at it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And so no one can tell. And I think that's the sad. And even the audience that, I mean, when I was going through my worst period, I was at my peak on YouTube. Like, people were watching me on YouTube pulling pranks on Ant. But at the same time, without knowing, they were watching me kill myself slowly.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so true. Mm. This is, I guess, an invisible disease, like you said. And, like,
wow. And I've heard you talk on your Instagram in the past as well about feeling like you need to be bigger or more muscular, or worrying about just missing one workout is not. I mean, do you suffer at all?
I have, and not anymore. In fact, I used to suffer with body dysmorphia incredibly. Like, in fact, looking back now, when I was at my biggest, most muscular, most shredded self, I thought I was skinny, and I would just have to keep eating, keep training, get bigger and bigger and bigger. It wasn't until COVID hit and I fell off the bandwagon a bit. I lost some muscle, went through stress, fell out of love with the gym, and I got skinny and hated the way I looked again. I looked back at myself being at that most muscular, shredded self, and I was like, fuck, that's my dream physique. And I'm so far out of touch with it right now. All I want to do is look like I looked like a year ago. But at that point when I was the biggest I've ever been, I thought I was skinny. And I just do not understand how our brains work, in the sense that in the moment, you cannot realize, Nick, you could not realize just how beautiful you were, and your body was completely fine. You were a beautiful twink.
But I think,
and then at the time, I was this jacked guy with his dream physique, and I couldn't even appreciate it in the moment.
And I think that's what body dysmorphia is. I mean, you're looking in the mirror, like I was looking in the mirror in that picture, and I was thinking that was the perfect body ever, and then all the comments were saying the opposite. And Ant, similar to you, you were this big guy, but you weren't seeing it. Your brain, you know, this morphs your body so that it sees it in its own perspective.
But there's always an underlying reason why you behave in that way, because that's quite extreme.
That's
quite extreme thing that you're doing to your body. So there's a reason why you behave that way, and I think that's important as individuals to kind of understand why we're doing the things that we're doing in a really unhealthy, not good way, to get at the core of the issue, to kind of think about how you be honest with change that so you can change your behavior in future around that sort
of stuff. If you kind of tackle whatever trauma is causing it, I think that would be a good way.
Well, speaking of pushing things beyond the limit, Buffoni.
Yeah,
what's your story?
My story. Well, I'll try to keep it a little bit more happy.
Oh my God. Sorry. How is it happier?
Did I bring the mood down, y'all? Sorry.
You ended up in hospital? How are we going to enlighten the mood? So it seems like it's the worst possible situation.
It's just getting worse and worse,
Backtrack a
little bit. It's a good example, though, if just like you guys, I mean, you're lucky you didn't end up in a hospital, because things can drive to that point. I mean, that's the point, is you're risking your life to get to certain body types.
Yeah.
So this was when we sort of first met, in the first couple of years, and there was all these kind of trendy diets, as I'm sure there is today, but kind of trendy diets. And one of the ones was called the South Beach Diet.
South Beach Diet.
I don't know. Yeah, you probably.
Okay. I haven't heard of it.
Born back then, because this was like some 22 years ago, and so essentially what it was is a diet with protein, very little or no carbs and no sugars, and part of the diet is a lot of nuts and seeds. And so it was a bit of a fad, and everybody was sort of on this South Beach diet, and we were working out a lot and all sorts of stuff. So I started this South Beach diet. And a couple of weeks into it, we were going to see his mom in Tucson, Arizona, in the US. And so just before I get on the flight, I start noticing this kind of little rash on my arm.
Oh.
13 hours later, we land in Tucson, and I was covered from head to toe in these
blood welts.
Like these mosquito bites, like the size of a thumb.
Each one was the size of a thumb.
Yeah.
Full of blood, and it was covered from my toe, and it stopped at my neck.
If I would have been stuck in a plane when that, I wouldn't have been able to.
We had to get back on a plane.
Oh.
So I land, stopped at my neck, so people can see it. That's fine. We get to his mom's house, and I wasn't feeling good. So then we were there for a week, and so I had went to see a whole bunch of American doctors, dermatologists, and all sort of stuff. And they had prescribed me medication and baths and all sort of stuff. And so they kind of, the swelling kind of reduced, but it didn't go away. And so then we had to come back to the UK a week later because my parents were coming here. And so get on the plane. I was super nervous getting on the plane because I thought when I get to the airport, if they see that, then they're not going to let me on the plane. And so I covered myself completely. And Tucson, Arizona is like 150 degrees.
I had
a jumper up to here and gloves, and I look crazy.
Everyone thought you were like a...
Exactly. Probably reading more red flags than she's just having. Right.
But they got me on the plane. Got me on the plane. Land back here. Everything swelled up again. And I came, and I was, my skin was actually going gray. And so I made it back home, and I just walked myself to Chelsea and Westminster emergency.
Yeah.
And I stayed there until they checked me in. They did. Yes, he came with me.
True love.
So we got to the emergency. We stayed there. They checked me in. Once they checked me in, they said, you can't leave. We don't know what's going on with you.
Goodness me.
And you can't leave.
Wow.
And so that was fine. And so I spent about a good 10, almost 2 weeks, good 10, 12 days in hospital.
Wow.
Dermatologists, you know, taking pieces of my skin, blood tests and all sort of stuff. A couple of interesting things. I really wasn't feeling well. And I was a little bit worried because they didn't know what it was. They just couldn't figure it out. I can't spend the rest of my life in this hospital, all sort of stuff. So that was a little bit nerve-wracking. The other thing is, because I was gay, they assumed a number of things. So the first thing that they did was an AIDS test, which was fine. They didn't have a problem with that. But because of that, that was kind of like, the assumption was like, And then what was interesting is they asked me, well, where have you traveled? Okay. I said, we just came back from Thailand. And he goes, and right away the doctor's assumption was that, he goes, well, did you have a lot of sex in Thailand? I said, well, no, I'm in a monogamous relationship and all sort of stuff. I didn't have an issue sort of with that.
But they might have asked everybody that question.
But he did say that. And then I said, no, we're in a monogamous relationship. But then he came back and he said, are you sure you didn't have sex? Are you telling me the truth?
Oh my God.
And so I was thinking, I wasn't comfortable with that. And yeah. I felt that he felt that I was lying.
Yeah.
And he already had made up his mind about why I had
this disease,
which really pissed me off. Anyway, so 10 days later, they had me on antibiotics and all sort of stuff, and it dripped, and the swelling went down, and they concluded that I had an allergic reaction.
To
something.
Sorry.
To something.
Well, it was.
Pay attention.
Sorry, my mind's out.
So that I had an allergic reaction, but they couldn't pinpoint what it was. But the only thing that I did differently was on that diet, I had a lot of nuts and a lot of almonds and a lot of seed. Something that I never did before.
Maybe it's like a mild nut allergy.
Well, yeah. He's never had a nut allergy, but he was, when we say Frank was eating nuts, he was eating lots of nuts. Like he had little plastic bags with him, and he was like,
and that was the diet, eating loads
because,
of nuts.
Because the thing is, you just eat protein, no carbs, you're always hungry.
Yeah.
And so in between like lunch and dinner, you're just constantly eating nuts and nuts and nuts.
My bulimia brain or like diet brain doesn't nuts have like loads of fat in it? So if you were eating that all day, I would have gained like 60 pounds. Well, but that's where my brain goes. But
well, no, because the whole point of this diet is high fat.
Well, you're trying to get big.
Diet is about just like, and this is the weirdest thing. This is the weirdest thing of all these stories is he was already very fit. I mean, we're talking not just normal fit, very fit. And yet he still went on a diet.
Yeah.
I mean, to lose weight. And the question is, why? Why would you put yourself into those situations?
Well, it was something that everybody did and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And I thought, you know, you always want to lose a little bit of belly fat and you want to be a little bit tighter.
But in our heads, we do.
Just a final point on that. And so that was the time that I transitioned as well from one job to another.
Yeah, you better end that job.
And transition.
There we go. Okay,
And so I had a dinner to attend at the new job, and when I came out of hospital, I still had scarring. Mm. And so I remember I had a suit and a tie and all sorts of stuff that you couldn't see anything, but I had my hands were obviously exposed. So I had a whole bunch of plasters on my.
Oh no.
And people were asking, what'd you do? So I said, well, I'm a cyclist. So I fell off my bike.
The lies.
And no one believed it?
They did.
I read it though.
Or they were being super polite. Yeah.
Where's your lycra, whatever it is?
Exactly.
You come dress in this.
I think it's interesting though that all four of us in this room have had a point in our lives. And we're well-adjusted people. I don't think any of us are, you know, not that that matters, but all of us have had a point in our lives where we've just not been happy or thought we shouldn't be happy with our bodies, I think, more importantly to say. And we did, and we pushed ourselves to extremes that we didn't need to go to and put ourselves at risk just to, you know.
So what are the trends today with, are they trends, like diet trends?
Yeah, so I think with us, let's talk about the obvious trend, which I'm sure y'all are hearing about as well. I think the biggest, and what we're seeing the most in the gay community today is Ozempic.
Absolutely.
Ah, right.
I would say half our friends are on Ozempic.
Wow.
And some were showing us how to do it, like you were trying to show us how to do steroids.
Oh my gosh.
One of our friends was literally like in our house, oh yeah, this is how you do it. He just like pulls out a needle, puts it in his stomach. He's like, and that's it. And I'm not hungry now. And I'm like.
But it was almost like he was convincing us to get on it because he was like, it's so easy. I've never felt better, more energy, skinnier, happier.
I do think in order to get it in this country, you have to be clinically obese. Not everybody can get it, right?
But he showed us the website you get it from.
They find ways to get it.
You can still get it.
But this is the thing as well. Like, so for me now seeing that obviously, you know, triggers some past things, and so I would never get into it, but we don't even know what the side effects are of Ozempic. They haven't done enough side effects on people that don't have diabetes taking it to know what it does.
And that's
have they lost weight?
Yeah, absolutely.
You see it in the face. It's called Ozempic face, and you just like it's like all bone.
Like Cheryl, really?
Cheryl Osborne. Yeah.
There's two people. I know a lot more people that have taken it, but there's two people in particular. Their perspective is they've never felt better, looked better, and are happier. Yeah. And in my perspective, that's so short term. Because when I look at them, oh my God, did they look a lot better in my perspective with that water retention in their face, that little layer, because that's all it is. It's just water retention. And they just look ill.
But then again, scary. It's kind of like, I'm just trying to go back, but it's like, when I was making myself throw up and people were like, oh, you lost a lot of weight, Nick, I'd be like, oh my God, thank you. Like, I know I feel so much better now, blah, blah. And I felt better mentally because I was losing all that weight. So I think it's really hard to judge people on Ozempic and say, oh no, you look fucking horrible. Because then that's like me telling someone that's bulimic. Well, oh, you look fucking horrible.
Look, I do think, you know, I do think some people benefit from it. I think some people are really using it in a way that have a eating disorder or weight gain problem that are, and they're benefiting from it. I think the risk is similar to like the stories we were telling is, you know, there's an emotional slippery slope you can go down there where you just keep getting skinnier and skinnier and skinnier because you can. All these diets have to be mentally checked, I think,
but what
as
we
you're using them.
What we found in our age, certainly what I observed in our age category, it's mostly there's more women that I know that are doing the Ozempic versus men for whatever reason. Right.
Well, I think, in a way, gay men and women are very similar
in terms of,
because also like when we're on about bulimia, it usually is women or gay men. I mean, I'm sure some straight men are bulimic, don't get me wrong, but primarily.
Yeah, there's that famous football player that was he football? And he's in the road car show that they do.
I didn't know.
And he did a whole documentary on Freddie is his name.
Oh.
He said he had bulimia.
Well, I think the point is, you know, I think us gays have reasons to go on these diets because in our community, whatever, we have to look a certain way. But I think ultimately it does target everybody on the planet, not just gay men.
Do you find your friends, like their personalities change? You find they're more kind of cranky is the wrong word, but just like it changes.
I would say the opposite. I would say they are happier short term and they do have energy because this drug suppresses your appetite, which means they were saying they don't eat anything all day. They will literally have like one little tiny snack and they'll be fine. They'll be full up. And I just think that's so bad. We're pushing our bodies to the next extreme limit. And this is the modern day version. It's just the latest trend to hop on that is pushing these people that do not need it. These two people are incredibly fit, incredibly muscular. Just overall, they can run marathons. They're incredibly fit people that do not need it. And they're just using it for their own satisfaction. And I'm not going to say that's a bad thing.
It's like my steroid story.
Because it's like your steroid story. It's like my body dysmorphia. It's like your bulimia. We're doing this to make ourselves happier.
And I think it does, like, in a way, make you happier up here because you're finally, your brain is seeing your body in a certain way. But that's so negative because then you're never actually fully happy, which I think we all learn. You're never really fully happy in your body. So you're just going to take the extreme and then you can end up in hospital.
Yeah.
You know, or addicted to drugs or, you know what I mean?
And it's a very short solution to the things that is going on in your head. So you might lose weight and all that sort of stuff. But long term, that generally, it's more about changing what's up here and sort of your lifestyle to make sure that you accept yourself and you're happy with and you're healthy and all that sort of stuff. But it's an absolutely terrible thing, you know, to go through.
Yeah. Guys, I think that could conclude today's episode.
That was heavy, guys. Yeah. Wow. That was a heavy podcast.
Thanks for sharing your stories.
If we can come out of this with anything positive, is like, you know, we are all still alive, even though we've all gone through, you know, different situations. And I think it's really, really important. I think if anybody is listening to this podcast today and seeing signs of whatever, themselves going through any of what we've gone through or friends or family, I think, you know, try to make them seek some form of mental health. Maybe not mental health, help them out. Just try to help them out. Talk to them.
You know, look out for the signs.
Look out for the signs, yeah.
You just be there for them, I guess. If you don't have someone to be there for or you don't have anyone that's there for you, then I'm sure we're going to link down below. There's a lot of resources.
Yeah, we'll link a lot of resources so if anybody listening can relate to anything. Yeah.
And that is it for today's episode. If you did enjoy today's episode and hit your heartstrings, don't forget to subscribe to the show and like and follow and check out our future episodes.
Yeah, guys, all our links will be down below. So if you want to check out any of the gays, the old or the news, all our links are going to be down below.
And we'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.